Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is Trust Our Pastor, Southern Presbyterian Congregation, Mount Zion, 12th hour. Today is June 21, 2025, or it's the 27th day of Sivan, 2029. This will be our first service on this seventh day Sabbath, and we're going to continue on with the two timely greetings, number 710 by Vici Harder. And the name of the sermon is a world condition, and the only people who will not bow down to it. Okay, so that will be our reading, and our prayer thoughts is going to be taken from the 52nd chapter of Christ's Object Lesson by Ellen G. White. Okay, it says, the love of the riches has an infatuating, deceptive power. Too often those who possess worldly treasure forget that it is the Yahweh who gives them power to get wealth. For they say, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Deuteronomy 8:17. Though riches instead have awakened gratitude unto Yahweh's lead to the exaltation of the self, for they lose the sense of the dependence upon the Yahweh and their obligation to their fellow men, instead of regarding wealth as a talent to be employed for the glory of the Father and the uplifting of the humanity. They look upon it as a means of serving themselves instead of developing in the man the attributes of the Yahweh, for the riches that use are developing in him the attributes of Satan and the lust of the other things. These are not necessarily things sinful in themselves. It's something that is made first instead of the kingdom of Yahweh. Whatever attracts the mind from the Yahweh, whatever draws the affections away from the Yahshua, is an enemy unto the soul. We should now pray for the realization that Yahweh, the Father, is the one who gives us the opportunity to obtain our needs, and that he blesses some with the riches for no other purpose than for the rich to serve him in the person of the humanity. In this reading, we are also commanded to pray that we shun serving self and learn to give Yahweh the credit for all our righteous acts and to charge our sins against the devil. End of our prayer thought. We'll go right on into our study. A world government and the only people who will not bow down unto it. December 6, 1947, B.T. Harder. It says Revelation 13:1-10, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast arise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of the blasphemer. And the beast that I saw was and is like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the old dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon that gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able for the making of the war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth of speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in the blasphemy against the Yahweh, the prophet, for the blaspheming of his name and of his tabernacle, and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him for the making of the war with the saints, and for the overcoming of them. And the power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Any man have an ear, let him hear what he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We have here read the description of one beast, but the remaining verses bring unto our attention another beast, Revelation 13:11-14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had the two horns like of a lamb, and he spake to the dragon, and he exercised all of the power of the first beast before him, and causes all the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by his sword and did live. For this second beast arises not from the sea, but from the earth. And the earth and prophecy is the United States. And he makes an image to the a likeness of the first beast. That is, he revives the governmental principles of the first beast, the principles enforced before the first beast received his deadly wound. Revelation 13:15-18, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath the understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. For the Bible places the number 666 only on not on the first beast, the leopard light, but only on the second of the two horned beasts. For the description of the first beast ends in the Revelation 14:10, and the description of the two horned beast begins with Revelation 13:11 and ends with the Revelation 13:18. For an early denominational publication entitled A Word with a Little Fire, and issued by the founders of the denomination, also rightly places the numbering, the number 666 on the two horned beast. See page 19 of A Word to the Little Flock. For the revelation being a complement or act of the apostles, page 585 of the book of the Daniel, it is necessary that we touch a little on the Daniel, chapter 7, in the particular. For the little horn in the second phase of the Daniel's fourth beast shows a rise of the brutal, tyrannical power as a power against the people of the Yahweh. For the symbolization of the John's leopard-like beast of the chapter 13, which is the continuation of the Daniel's fourth beast, tells what happens to that demon power. Daniel explains that the four beasts symbolize four world empires. And that's universal empire, one following the other. And it has long been widely understood that they are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. Note that John's leopard-like beast has the head of a lion, of the first beast, the feet of a bear, the second beast, the body of a leopard, the third beast, and ten horns, the fourth beast. And so you see the leopard-like beast is a composite beast of the Daniel's four beasts, a descendant of them. It must therefore represents the world after the fall of the fourth empire after the pagan Rome. Moreover, the ten crownless horns of the Daniel's fourth beast being symbolical of the kings that were to rise out of the Roman Empire, the crowns on the leopard-like beast show that the beast represents the period in which the kings took their crown, the period after the disintegration of the pagan Roman Empire. Still further, the leopard-like beast blasphemed Yahweh and his tabernacle, just as long as did the Daniel's fourth feast and his second feast in the ecclesiastical realm, that is, a time and times and the dividing of the time, 3 years and 6 months, 40 and 2 months, plain it is then that the leopard-like beast reigned contemporaneously with the nondescript beast in his second phase, the phase of the little horned head. For the deadly wound on the leopard-like, therefore, represents the deadly blow which it received from the Protestant Reformation. Hence, the wounded head represents the horned head power and amalgamation of the civil and religious powers of the Daniel's beast, divested of his civil power, dethroned. So now, since the horns of the John's beast symbolize the nations, and his wounded head symbolizes a religious organization divorced from a civil power, and since his seven heads are all alike, save for the wound on one of them, becomes obvious that the heads, seven in the number, portray the religious bodies of the Christendom in its entirety. Okay, so that would be from the 1st century to the 20th century, 2,000 years, in other words. For the horns, though, 10 in the number, portray the civil governments in their entirety. Both horns and heads, therefore, represent the world of today, just as each of the Daniel's four beasts representatively represented the world in their day. For the horns and heads all been on the beast at the same time, not coming up one after another, or in the like manner falling off, as the horns in the Daniel chapter 7 and 8 should forever convince every rational mind that the horns and heads symbolize civil and religious bodies, all existing at the same time, not one following the other. For the blasphemy being over the head, not over the horns, denotes that the religious bodies portrayed therein do not worship Yahweh according unto the truth, that they are not holy what they profess to be. For the exact interpretation that the inspiration places on the word blasphemy is this: I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews but are not, Revelation 2:9. For it is better for all of us to acknowledge our failures than to evade the truth, for it is the truth that shall make us free. Moreover, since we admit that the Reformation inflicted the deadly blow and brought forth apostolism, and since the inspiration says the wound was healed, all these prove something which, if we confess, may save our jeopardized lives and make us as great as did the wholehearted confessions anciently made by the David and make David great. Let's read that last again. And make us as great as did wholehearted confessions anciently make the David great. What is it that we have to confess just this? If Protestantism wounded the beast by the Reformation, then the healing of the wound shows nothing less than that of the Reformation has failed to keep the wound open, that the goal of the Reformers has died, and the despotism has been revived. Indeed, this symbolism, the sin, nothing more than what the message for unto the latest sins is said. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with the goods, and have need of the nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eyesight, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:17-18. For one to be in such a deplorable condition, and at the same time to contend that he has need of nothing, is indeed a blasphemy. Unlike the first beast, the second beast comes from the earth. The sea and the earth obviously point unto the two different locations. For we know that the beast of the Daniel 7 and the leopard-like of the Revelation 12:13, the beast that arose from the sea, all originated in the old country, the lands where the humanity originated. Yes, the sea definitely symbolizes the old country, because the sea is where the storehouse of the waters, as the place where the waters originate, as the old country is in the place from where the humanity spread out. Let's do that again. For the place where the waters originate, as in the old country, is where the place from where the humanity spread out, is the very place where the humanity spread out. For the earth then points unto a place away from the sea, and the opposite of what the sea stands for, of a country made up of the inhabitants who have immigrated from elsewhere. For the only such country or nation away from the old country, and as influential as portrayed in this two-horned beast that arises after the formation of the leopard-like beast in the Protestant period, is the United States. Moreover, the United States is already other world power, and so we need not resist them anymore. For the beast two horn points unto its two political ruling powers, that of the Democrats and the Republicans, for their lamb-like character gives the appearance of the innocent, harmlessness, and charitability. For the beast speaking like a dragon, nevertheless repudiates the lamb-like appearance of the horn. For the two-horned beast exercise all the power that the first beast, or that of the first beast, with the leopard like exercise, again showing it to be a world power. Indeed, it requires just such a power to compel all the inhabitants of the earth to worship as he commands, and to implement a likeness of a church and state government that is as outdated as are the Middle Ages themselves. Yes, it takes such a power for the influencing of the world by the saving those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Life to bow down unto it. Revelation 13:13-15, and he doeth the great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and the seed of them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image unto the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and should and cause all that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here you see that this unification of the world engendered to bring peace and harmony out of the present chaos will instead bring an even greater time of the trouble. And why? Because though the beast may bring communism and capitalism to feed a mutual agreement and cause them to bow down to the image of the beast, yet those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Life will never comply. From this you see that the whole plan is directed by a supernatural power whose aim is to boycott the people of the Yahweh, for they shall nevertheless be delivered. When the beast of decree is passed that no one can buy or sell, and should be killed for non-conformity, then the Yahweh only can protect the people, as the people whose names are written in the book. such is his faithful promise. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the servants of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even that same time. Even to that same time was since there was a nation, even unto that same time, and at that time they thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Revelation 13:18-17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the number of his name, or the number of his name, of the beast, or the number of his name, yeah. For this power, let's read that last all over again, Revelation 13:16-17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, for the receiving of a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. For this power, you see, is to be is for the controlling of the world, of the world's market also. For this symbolic forecast of the world government unto is to be set up plenty points out that the coming world government is to be neither the UN nor the communism, but an ecclesiastical power. And we know that it is not the communism, because communism is against a religion, and the beast is for it. When this comes to pass, which is no longer beyond the horizon, then those whose names are written in the book of the life shall be delivered, but all others will have received the mark of the beast. There will be weeping, and there will be no middle ground or middle class. For we should now decide what to do so that we will not be caught off guard. But this very cause, for this very cause, the light of the truth has come unto us now. In other words, come to the shepherd God, 1930. For the world government, which is to develop from the League of the Nations, that's called NATO, after World War I was formulated, and the United Nations is not actually to be absolutely universal. And there are still to be two worlds, but rather than there being two capitalism and communism, there are to be those who worship the beast and his image, and those who worship Yahweh and have their names written in the book, for the latter are the only people who will not bow down unto the future world government. This brings the end of our study for number 17 of Teutonic Reading. This brings the end of our study for this time of our program with a song.